Well, Margaret Pomerantz and David Stratton called it quits at the movies late last year and left many of us wondering whether we'd see the pair on telly again. Well, now Margaret has popped up in the kitchen. She's just co-authored a cookbook. It doubles as a family memoir and is full of stories from Margaret and her daughter-in-law Pip about food and friends, and yes, there's a little bit of talk of film in there as well. Margaret Pomerantz has come into the RN Breakfast studio to tell us about it. Margaret, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
It's been a tough morning and we're outside talking. You're a bit guilty. You wanted to beat a retreat to the lift rather than talk about a cookbook on a day like today, especially also since we've had the sad news about Andrew Lesney dying suddenly yesterday. He was the Oscar-winning cinematographer. Tell me about his work.
Well, Andrew was just one of the nice guys in the industry. He was very much, you know, an antipodean cinematographer. He worked New Zealand, Australia, very rarely venturing to Hollywood. When I first met him, he was working with first-time filmmakers in this country. And he said to me, I'm just always working with first-time filmmakers. But he,
helping,
you know,
to make the film.
Yes, exactly.
The wise head, you know, of the cinematographer.
And, you know, I think that was, you know, part of what was lovely about him, that he was in there, you know, giving his expertise to first-time filmmakers. If I were a first-time filmmaker, I would want a really experienced cinematographer too. And then, of course, he hit, you know, the big time with The Lord of the Rings. After Babe, you know, I mean, that put him on the map, but then that Oscar for the first Lord of the Rings was tremendous.
Mm. Now, to the cookbook. I mean, writing a cookbook is a bit of a celebrity thing to do, but in a way I reckon you're the antithesis of a celebrity. You've never seen yourself as this. I mean, you might be well, you know, recognised in the street and people might shout out, but I don't reckon you see yourself as a celebrity, do you?
No, I don't. Not at all. And I'm very wary of it. I remember in my early years when I was very apprehensive and uptight about interviewing stars or people I admired, you know, that I was in awe of. And I got really slapped over the knuckles by a filmmaker, Bob Ravelson. And I nearly ran out of the interview in tears.
What did he say?
He said that what he wanted to do was, during his break from filming, is get away from people like me. And I took it very personally, I can tell you. But I hung in there and I sort of came, and we bonded after that. I sort of settled down and lost my awe. We discovered a common fetish about shoes. And from that point on, I made a decision. I wasn't going to be in awe of anyone. They were just doing what I was doing. They're doing their job.
Yeah. And you give, I think, tell me whether you think I'm right. Feel free to say I'm wrong. I reckon the secret of your success is that you give good chat, that you pay the person you're interviewing, whether they're a celebrity or not, the compliment of taking them seriously, of taking their work seriously, and you give good chat. And that's why, reportedly, Tom Cruise, when you're interviewing him and his publicist keeps popping in saying, enough, wrap it up, and he keeps telling you to go away, bugger off.
I'm not interested in, I want a conversation with someone about their work. I know in places like Cannes and Venice, with all the celebrity interviews, people ask the most inane questions. What's your favourite colour? You know, how's your latest girlfriend? David and I have never, ever done that sort of interview. I mean, we're just interested in the process and the work. And I think, I don't know, but I think everybody likes to be taken seriously.
Yeah, right.
With their work. And, you know, and I like a conversation. I don't have a list of questions. It's all in my head. I like relaxed. And if you're relaxed, they are.
Ah, you go in without a piece of paper. So it's a high wire act, really. You're sitting down, you've got a limited amount of time at Cannes with somebody, and you're just going to wing it. I'm not, but I mean, you've got lots of expertise, but you're just going to let it happen.
Yes, I am. I can't stand those list of questions in front of me. They're distracting.
Ah, No, I can't live. I can't live without them. That's a horrifying thought. I need a net underneath me, even if I never bounce around in it.
But you're live, and I'm not live.
So what's? I mean, what's the best that can happen, and what's the worst that can happen? I'm going to put you on the spot and say, when has it really worked? Have you been doing that dance backwards in high heels like Ginger Rogers in an interview with somebody and thinking, this is great. This is really working. We're getting to something true here.
Look, I mean, most interviews go really well if you have space. Mm. In the early years of Cannes, you would get 20 minutes, 25 minutes with a filmmaker.
So who's good to sit opposite for 25 minutes?
Well, Lawrence Bender was great. He was the producer, the young producer that worked with Tarantino. And I had a fabulous interview with him that was about half an hour, and we just sat around and chatted about his life and his background. I mean, these days you get 4 minutes with a star. Mm. I travelled all the way out to the Hotel de Cab for an interview with Bruce Willis that was meant to be 10 minutes, and that's half an hour out of Cannes at least, more getting back because of the traffic. So you're missing a lot of films, you know, while you're away. And it was cut down to 4 minutes.
So you've stricken Bruce Willis from the list of people ever.
I said I'm never doing that again. And the only person I went out to the Hotel de Gap for was Lars von Trier, and that was mainly to get up David's nose.
We should talk about cookbooks. I'm sure there's a publicist somewhere, although she's not here today. I'm going to cast you as a home cook in The Ilk of Elizabeth David, which is high praise, I might add.
Yeah, well, I don't deserve that, telling you.
For those who don't read cookbooks like I do, I'm not a great cook, but I do love a cookbook. She was the fabulous British cookery writer, if you will, transformed the eating habits of middle-class Britain from the 50s onwards. And the notion that she had in a wonderfully named essay, An Omelette and a Glass of Wine, was the idea that there's something stylish and perfect about something simple done well. Which brings me, in a long, convoluted way, with a question that was written down, to Margaret Pomerantz and cheese on toast.
Do you know, I don't pretend to be a chef. I don't.
No kidding.
It's not simple cheese on toast. You know, these are toasties. These are an important family tradition. I like good food, you know, healthy food, simply but deliciously cooked. But it's that gathering around a table that I...
Not panicking in the kitchen about the perfect meal. It's the gathering. It's the cheese on toast and nice wine.
Yes, that's essential. But I'm very chaotic in the kitchen. I'm chaotic pretty much generally through life, but in the kitchen as well. But it all comes out one way or another, more edible at some times than others. So it's the company, really. It's the families, it's the friends. You know, they're the things I value.
Now, I've just trapped you there because I'm actually leading up to asking you about a disastrous dinner party with Rosanna Arquette. What happened?
Well, Rosanna was out here. She was making a film, and I had interviewed her, and she said that she would like to meet one of our, you know, preeminent directors. And I organised a dinner for her, and I was cooking beef, and I learned at the last minute that she was a vegetarian.
Terrific.
And I rang a friend who was a caterer, and I went, help, help, help. And she made the most delicious ratatouille and delivered it around. I took credit for it, shamelessly.
<Of course. laughs> Did you make it yourself? Answer. Yes, of course.
I'm glad you like it. No, I didn't lie, but, you know, there are ways of getting around that sort of thing. So, but, you know, I then got the recipe, and it's one of my staples for big parties because you can make a lot of it and there's something for vegetarians. And, you know, the mix of palates these days is extraordinary.
It's a wonderful book, The Cheese on Toast, The Ratatouille, and the wonderful reflections between yourself and your daughter Pip and the family stories and the memoir and the film. It's a lovely combination. Thanks for coming in and telling us about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Margaret Pomerantz, and the new cookbook on sale now.